like I said in yesterday's program, it'll probably be the weekend before I get the sound card issue sorted out. So that's why, again, another cold opening this evening. I'm okay with it as long as it isn't a, you know, doesn't come as a complete surprise. It's that breaking up of the continuity that, you know, when things are expected to work and don't, that kind of messes with me. So here we are. This program is live for those who are listening live. It's a podcast for those listening as a podcast. And it is, in fact, the 20th day of September 2019. Welcome, one and all, in the Northern Hemisphere, of course, to the first day of autumn. In the Southern Hemisphere, congratulations, here comes spring. I'm deeply envious of the Southern Hemisphere right now. I know people get all, oh, I love autumn. Autumn's my favorite time of year. Ooh, the fall colors. Not me. Not me. Because autumn represents the beginning of the dying of the natural world, you know, for another year. Persephone has headed underground. Damn that pomegranate seed. Never eat pomegranate seeds. At least not unless you want to go and live with Hades in the underworld. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, you can do exactly what I am doing right this moment, and that is to go over to HeadOn.live and jump into the chat room. It's real easy. It's just a matter of a screen name and a password. And let's see who's in this evening, or at least try to. There we are. Early arrivers include Warrior Witch and Squeaky and Jimmy, and of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, and all around great. That's Steve. And third stage guild navigator, Sparky, who, having folded space on what must be a lovely Northern California day, man cave. Warrior Witch is telling me, no, it's September 23rd, Bob. Okay, so I got three more days of summer left. I will milk them dry. I will wring out every last bit of summer that I can get out of them, except for the part where I'm working on sorting out the godforsaken sound card issue. Mm-hmm. Now, au contraire, mi amigo. What's that, Steve? Monday, autumnal equinox. Okay. See, I'm just bummed out. I'm bummed out that summer's over. And, well, here comes propane and kerosene season. But it'll have its high points. I'm sure there will be some lovely autumn days. Where are we in terms of, because this program always begins with gratitude, we should make note of our subscribers for this 20th day of the month. And that means sending out thanks to Vincent, and to Armand, and to Dr. John, and Carl over in Columbus. Thank you, one and all. Now, here's the it's good news. We are very close to being done with September's funding. If we can raise $600 this evening, we will, and that would be two community-made miracles, two Fridays in a row. But if we can raise $600 this evening, that means we will have not five, but 6 days of fundraising free radio, which I look forward to. Like you can scarcely imagine. So that's it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's doable. So we'll give that a try over the course of this evening. Of course, it's Friday on the front porch. And that means that not too far away in time is the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that takes place at the end of every week here at the Horn when we gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around for a rollicking conversation to sort of round out the week. Good faith, good humor, and good times will be had by all. And as per warning, because there are some people who show up for Friday on the front porch who don't show up for the rest of the program, I confess that I do have handy the deplorable choir from two nights ago, just in case somebody decides that they would really, really love to hear that. It's quite honestly the funniest thing since Shiny Heiny. But before we get there, just a little bit of babble and a reminder, if you'd like to be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, head on over to headon.live and click on the Skype link there, and that will carry you right into the group. Okay? Let's see. No. And... we're, according to Brother Deacon Asa, running hot and true on both streams, so it's always good to have things not completely falling apart from a technical standpoint. It's not too much of a surprise, but, you know, it's good to know. Now, where to begin? I guess even though yesterday I put the UAW strike in front of the question of treason against this country, and I don't throw that word around lightly, treason. This evening, it's unavoidable that we're going to have to deal with that issue. Because now, somehow or another, we've managed to piece together, good reporters have pieced together the essence of the great big double secret probation complaint against Nitwit Nero. And in some cases, the reporters had help. You know, from Rudy Giuliani, who offered a master class in losing one's shit yesterday when Chicken Noodle News booked him for a segment with Chris Cuomo. To say the very least, it was crazy. Big time crazy. So in essence, what we do know now is that it centers on Ukraine. It centers on a dirty piece of business in which Trump was trying to use a foreign government as leverage against the candidate he is scared of. But a sidelight to this revelation is that I guess this benefits Joe Biden, because if Nitwit Nero was willing to go to the lengths he did, some eight mentions in a single conversation, asking the president of Ukraine to help him manufacture dirt on Joe Biden, it makes Biden look like some sort of formidable candidate who scares Chlamydia Claudius into filling his depends. Yeah, watch him someday on video if you can see. Dude ain't wearing thongs. Let's just put it that way. And so, because I don't think Joe Biden is that formidable a candidate against Trump. It's entirely possible that I'm wrong, but based on his public appearances, his performance in the pageants, I don't see it. No. Kyle is, needless to say, upset at the prospect that I've got the deplorable choir queued up. Bob, if I promise to vote for whomever the Democratic nominee for president is in 2020 without hesitation, yes, even Tulsi, would you please never play that goddamn deplorable choir ever again? I'm afraid I'm going to need that in writing and signed in blood, Kyle. Yeah, come on. You know you really want to hear him again. You know you do. Oh, and I just had a note from Charlene, a founding member of the sorority of Lean. Charlene is offering a $150 challenge. If that is met tonight, then Charlene will throw in an extra $50, and that will mean that we will have met half of the funding goal for this evening, and that'll be a big bite out of what remains. So thank you, Charlene, for the $150 challenge. Let's see. What shall we call it? The Dear God, No, Not the Deplorable Choir Again Challenge. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. Note coming in from Steve in New York. The constitutional crisis of all constitutional crises. Steve says, I've been thinking long and hard lately. As the Democrats have sought to go to court to force the Pumpkin Pol Pot administration, again, that's high quality, the Pumpkin Pol Pot, can't beat alliteration, to obey subpoenas, etc. The thing that has really begun to scare me is something that few seem to be talking about, probably because those in the know are scared of the prospect. My fear is that the courts will rule against Trump, and he'll just disobey the courts. At that point, we're left with what I like to call the Hong Kong option, taking to the streets. What really scares me is that I don't think we as a country are up for that. If Trump does disobey the court and half the legislative branch does nothing about it, we are in enabling acts territory. damn, I wish I could say that I this or that will finally stop Trump, but I can't see any scenario that would surprise me. Nature may stop him. He is not a well man. But I get your point, Steve. And oddly enough, and I was going to bring this up a couple of days ago, but I, somehow or another I didn't quite get to it. If you saw a recent column by Robert Reich, you would note that in it, and it was only published in the last few days, he says everything that we've been saying, that I've been saying for several months now. And that is that we may want impeachment, and impeachment may be warranted, but impeachment likely will not remove him from office. And that the 25th Amendment should be a viable remedy for removing him from office, but it has to be used. And it jibed exactly with our discussions here. So I kind of, that's a sort of a feather in our cap that we got stuff right way before it was even written by somebody who is known for his obvious genius. And along the way, the thing that impressed me most was the confirmation that I received when Robert Reich in the column noted that being knucking futs is not grounds for impeachment. Being deeply mentally ill is neither high crime nor misdemeanor. Neither is it treason nor bribery. So, crazy won't get you to impeachment. It could get you to Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, but that would require Mike Pencilneck Geek to be willing to do his job. And then it's up to the courts to determine what the principal heads of the executive branch actually means. Because, as Robert Reich noted, the word cabinet does not appear in the Constitution. The fact that the president has a cabinet is largely by agreement through historical precedent. And when Steve says that at that point we're left with what I like to call the Hong Kong option, taking to the streets, and he says he's scared because he doesn't think we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, are up to that task. And I agree with Steve. Part of the reason that people take to the streets and refuse to go home is because they don't have much in the way of home. The students are largely leading the protests in Hong Kong, and they are not yet saddled with the burden of trying to pay for real estate on that little bitty island with those great big real estate prices. They know how they grew up. They know what's facing them in the future, and they have no incentive not to protest with all their might, not to get out in the street, and to refuse to leave. Contrast that with the American people who are eaten alive with debt. Who, if they, say, go to Washington, D.C. in their millions, will come home to find that their homes have been foreclosed, their cars have been repoed, the power's been shut off, the pantry is bare, the gas isn't flowing, and the cable's out. That's sufficient to keep most Americans home for anything more than a theatrical set piece where everybody shows up on Thursday, goes to seminars on Friday, goes to the march and protest on Saturday, and is gone the hell home on Sunday so that they can be at work on Monday. And because the scenario plays out that way, it has no real force and effect. For all the brilliance of all the people who showed up for, say, the Women's March, I can't help noting that a serial, credibly accused sexual predator remains in the White House and even managed to get a credibly accused sexual predator onto the Supreme Court of the United States. Ta-da. I'm not trying to take anything away from that march. It's just that it was a lovely demonstration, but if you can't stay and apply pressure, it's exactly that. It's a demonstration. A demonstration, by definition, means that you are showing force that you are willing to bring to bear. The problem is, no one can bring that force to bear. I mean, yeah, it played a role in the blue wave, without a doubt. But in terms of immediate impact and immediate change, no. It's not the Prague Spring. It's not the Velvet Revolution. It's not the revolution that toppled Nicolae Ceausescu from rule in Romania. And it is most assuredly not Hong Kong. So I completely understand what Steve in New York is getting at. Thank you very kindly to Richard. Thanks to Richard, we are now only $140 away from meeting Charlene's Oh Hell No, Not the Deplorable Choir Again challenge. $140. Thank you. Thank you to Richard. Dave, writing from the blind, reporting with earplugs nearby from the blind, speaking on behalf of Crazy Dave's Crucifixion and Monitoring Service, I've never heard the Deplorable Choir, and I've been thinking we need to add a little musical touch to our crucifixions, so if you could give me their demo tape, or at least the snippet of it, then I can take it to my board of directors, and we can vote on it, if I could ask for another $10,000 for musical accompaniment alone. Well, Crazy Dave's Crucifixion and Monitoring Services. I will try after the program, Dave, because he's crazy. I'll try to make sure that you and the board of directors of Crazy Dave's Crucifixion and Monitoring Service receive it promptly. God, Albert. Albert in Rhode Island says, I'd like to see Dope 45 get some sort of malady that requires him to receive a high colonic. Do you think he'd disappear? You know, because, yeah, it would be a lot less, I mean, it would be a lot less visually appealing than, say, the end of Dr. Doom. Was it Dr. Doom? No, you know, the bad guy on Roger Rabbit, who, yeah. You people. And see, this is the little rabbit hole you go down when you start contemplating things like, is he really that scared of Joe Biden? Flavio asks, what if Trump really wants Biden to be nominated because he believes he can beat him? How do you think the Trump team's going to go after Biden? How easy would it be for them to go after Biden? I think somebody like Sanders, Warren, Harris, to name a few, who can spar verbally with Don the Con, would beat him. Biden? Really? Well, what if they want us to think he's afraid of Biden so that Biden will win the nomination, but he's not really afraid of Biden. He knows he can thump Joe Biden like a tin drum. That way lies madness, even trying to contemplate it. Oh, hell yeah. And in addition to the $150 Dear God No, Not the Deplorable Choir Again challenge, courtesy of Charlene, we will add another $38 to it, courtesy of Tracy. In honor of my 37.6-pound weight loss since June and the 5K that I'm running tomorrow for Homeboy Industries, I'm going to round up to $38 for a challenge for you to entitle however you want. Okay, so that's the $150. Oh, my God, not the deplorable choir again. No, really, I agree with Charlene, not the deplorable choir challenge, courtesy of Tracy. And so there's $140 to go on Charlene's challenge, and then we'll get after Tracy's at $38. And we get nearer and nearer to wiping out the fundraising goal for the month of September. The whole month of September. Steve asks, what about instead of dilly-dallying in court to get the whistleblower complaint, the House Judiciary Committee should invite the whistleblower to testify and offer him immunity? Thoughts? I'm not sure the House of Representatives can speak for law enforcement in offering him immunity. Because, again, the Congress has no law enforcement powers save its power over its own physical premises. And then there's the question of how you protect the whistleblower once said whistleblower has been identified and has to be protected from all manner of maggots. What happens if the whistleblower testifies and Bill Barr then orders some of his goons to go after the whistleblower? Gun battles in the streets? I mean, and I'm not being sarcastic. How do you accomplish that goal? And, yeah, I'm not sure what the nuance is on that. Didn't they offer Oliver North immunity? Yeah, there was something there, but that's going to take a little bit of research. And I don't necessarily know that the whistleblower has, there's not necessarily an allegation of criminality in the whistleblower's conduct. And in fact, there are jurisdictional issues relating to the Intelligence Inspector General. Because there may be, we tend to look at it as being a matter of just more stonewalling by the Trump regime. But recall that the whistleblower, what we do know, is that the whistleblower is a Trump political appointee. That's how bad this is. This person was appointed by Trump within the administration and still was so freaked out by this that they went to the IG. Damn. And there is some serious freaking out going on. Let's just go over to the Rudy Giuliani school of losing your shit on national TV.
That's
Oh, come on.
This is Plus.
Okay, why is that running? We'll get there in a minute.
Ask you about. I appreciate
so you
got to
ask somebody else about that.
I will.
I don't know the answer to why it was released, but I find nothing wrong in what he did. I find
you
a
don't
lot
even know
wrong.
What he did.
I find a lot wrong in what you are covering up,
believe
and
me,
what
I'm
you
well
continue
aware.
To cover up, and what your network continues to cover up.
And I'm telling you, you give me
what,
proof of what you found.
I have
I will
proof.
Vet it and put it.
Go,
and give it to
look,
me.
Go look at Joe Biden.
Oh my God! Not only is it a fascinating study of what it looks like to lose one's shit on national television, it has elements of comic farce to it. Because remember, especially where it concerns Rudy Giuliani, you can't spell farce without arse.
You got to ask somebody else about that.
I don't know
the answer to why it was released, but I find nothing wrong in what he did. I find
you
a
don't
lot
even know
wrong.
What he did.
I find a lot wrong in what you are covering
I,
up,
believe
and
me,
what
I'm
you
well
continue
aware.
To cover up, and what your network continues to cover up.
And I'm telling you,
will
you
make,
give me
what,
proof of what you found.
I have
I will
proof.
Vet it and put it
go,
and give it to
look,
me.
Go look at Joe Biden.
I
in January
I, everybody
of 2018,
has heard that video.
It's
not a new story.
Bribery. 100%.
He does not
go
admit
look.
Bribery 100% because he
look.
Says that there was no quid pro quo. He wasn't doing
he didn't
it for
say
his
that.
Son.
He didn't
he
say
He said,
that.
I'm not doing it for my son.
He left his son out of the conversation. He just said, I told the president
when
of the Ukraine.
When he's been asked about this, he said, I did nothing for my son.
A
and
year
the
later.
Doesn't match up.
A year later.
That's when he was
And
asked.
He said, I didn't know my son was under
All right,
investigation.
Rudy, look,
garbage.
No matter what I
Completely
hear tonight after
true.
This interview,
and
I will.
You are now...
Yeah. What am I now?
In all kinds of
what
fantasies
am I, what am I now?
About the president when there's clear proof about a Democrat and you can't handle it.
What
and how
what?
About we go to China when he flew his son there on Air Force Two?
Listen.
And 8 days
Rudy,
later, the
I
son
I don't know what any of this has
point.
To do with what I've been asking you about.
What
tonight.
It has to do
I
with how
honest.
Unfair you are. Do you get
it's
that?
Unfair for me
it's
to not
unfair.
Want to tolerate you talking about Joe Biden all night long when we have an inspector general fighting with the DNI, fighting with Congress over a whistleblower complaint that involves this president
so we have an
and
anonymous
you
whistleblower
and what you've
complaint.
Been doing
we
playing
have an
with
anonymous
Ukraine.
Whistleblower complaint compared to
right.
clear
I go,
proof
Rudy.
That Biden's son got $1.5 billion from China and you won't cover it. Tell me you're not unfair.
Rudy, I told
nobody,
you.
Nobody buys that, Chris. That's why your
know,
network
but I'm sure,
has
they
no
buy.
Ratings.
I'm sure they buy.
They
that
buy the
everything
fact
you're
that
saying
you
right
the
now
tank
has
the
nothing
Democratic
to
Party.
Do with distracting from what this president's problems
might be. I am not distracting.
Be. You've
what
been
I am
doing
pointing
it for
out,
over a year and a half.
I haven't
okay?
been doing that.
The
what
hell
been
you haven't. You've been distracting
how
from the truth
you are,
for a year and a half.
Tried to frame
and
the
I hope you enjoy it because this president got the benefit of something you built up for decades, your credibility. And you put.
Tune in next week for another episode of Two Wealthy New Yorkers Scream at Each Other. This is nuts. And Rudy Giuliani is scared shitless. But hilariously so. This is the very definition of Merry Wacky Zany Madcap real-time multimedia extravaganza. It's just a pity it's not taking place in the chat room.
Put
it on the
my
line
credibility
for him.
On the line.
Good choice.
1,000%, and I think your network is a horror to this
That's
country.
Fine.
You
That's
are undermining.
And yet I still
you're
have you
undermining
on.
Fairness and justice.
And yet
in this
I still
country.
Had you on.
When
I'm so
a vice
unfair
president
that I
of
had
the
you
United
on.
States can come out of China uh-huh. 8 days later.
And I've had you say that a dozen
billion,
times on
and
my
you
air.
Will cover it.
And
Tell
I've asked
me
you for proof. And I have you
I
on
have
anyway,
proof.
Even with all this trash coming
proof.
Out of you.
The proof has been there for 2 years.
Trash.
And you're covering
all this
it up.
Trash.
I got you.
And
Rudy,
the proof
send
of
the proof whenever you want.
It's from his own mouth, and you're covering it up.
I hear
and
you.
And you covered up so much more about Hillary.
I'm covering
it's
it
disgusting.
Up so much that I've kept this interview going 28 minutes and let you say it a dozen times.
Yeah, and
times.
Interrupted me
That's
500 times
of it I am.
To try to
well,
stop
you've
me
made
from telling
points.
The American people
you've
what's
made two
actually
points.
Going on
you've
so
made
you
two
can
points.
Continue to mislead them, which is what you're doing.
Well, you've been here the whole time, so you're part of it now. You're co-conspirator.
I'm not part of misleading
Rudy
everything
Giuliani.
I said I can document.
I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off me sticks to you.
Thank you for
every
give
single
it to me.
Thing I said.
Then
I can
give
document.
Me the documents. Thank you.
I'm not going to give you the documents. Why would I give you the documents?
Because you want
you're
the
not
going to
use them for a
you're
good
not making
purpose.
Any sense to me.
If
on
I
this
trusted
point.
You, of course I'm making sense.
Now you don't trust me either. All right, Rudy Giuliani.
Why would I give the enemy the documents?
Now
you
I'm the enemy.
You are not fair.
Now
you are
I'm
not
the
impartial.
Enemy. Great.
You
Rudy,
are totally
anything else?
Biased, and your network is a creature of the Democratic
okay.
National Committee.
Rudy Giuliani, I appreciate your take,
and you
as
should be
always.
Embarrassed to be on that network.
I'm the one who should be embarrassed.
I'm the one who should be embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. However will I handle all of the embarrassed that I am? And it was. That was just a taste. It was 28 minutes of Jesus Christ, where's the blowgun and where's the Thorazine dart? Get it quick. Rudy's gone off the rails. I guess there in the Giuliani household, every day is Thanksgiving. And every day, Rudy is screaming at the end of the table. Just wow. And you know, everybody today, in the last couple of days, everybody has had a take on this expanding, mushrooming, probably shouldn't have said mushroom, that's going to make people think about. Oh, it made me think about. Yeah, yuck! Scandal. Yes, everybody has had a take. But not just everybody has a take that somehow manages to make the entire thing all about themselves. No, not just everybody. I mean, CNN's Jim Acosta did a good job breaking down the bullshit. No doubt about that. Various and sundry former government officials and like CIA, former CIA officials have talked about what the specific crimes that are involved with this Ukrainian dalliance involve. There's been lots of TV appearances. But to get all Miss Mayella, it all comes to nothing, Mr. Finch. It all comes to nothing. If it does not result in action. But holy crap. Nobody. Oh, Jesus, nobody. Can do quite what, if I can ever get this page to load, what went over the TV today. Now, meanwhile, those rock-ribbed Republicans who are, never Trumpers, people like Max Boot, by the way, never turn your back on a never Trumper, because tigers don't change their stripes, and neither do skunks. But Max Boot is out there in his Washington Post column shrieking to anyone who will listen to him that it's time for Nancy Pelosi to finally get serious about impeachment. Max Boot wrote, if the new scandal involving President Trump and Ukraine is as bad as it seems, and that is, of course, a very big if at this early stage, the House will have no choice but to impeach. Consequences be damned. Trump has already won an election once with foreign help, Boot wrote. If he's now misusing his office to force a foreign leader to help him in 2020, the House would be compelled to impeach, even if the Senate wouldn't convict, simply to show that Trump is not a king who can violate the law with impunity. But obviously a great deal of evidence must still be collected despite an administration cover-up before final judgment can be rendered. There's that great deal of evidence part again. The part where we're still waiting for courts to do what courts are supposed to do, if in fact we have a functioning court system anymore at all in this country. So, you know, Max Boot had a take and it didn't suck. But when it comes to takes, well, nobody can approach the steaming, searing hot take of John McCain's daughter. Oh my Jesus. The opening to The View.
Hello, everybody. And we would like to welcome back the lovely and talented Anna Navarro. She's here today.
Yeah, it's all fun. It all starts with a lot of cheering and clapping.
I miss you.
Well, I miss you, too. But, you know, there's been safaris, there's been hurricanes, swimming with sharks. But, I mean, there's been a lot of things happening.
I know. As a matter of fact, seriously, though, our thoughts are with everyone impacted by the flooding in Texas right now. It's a terrible thing. Somebody died already. Yeah. All right. So, now, this other scandal that's going on, which we started to talk about.
Oh, by the way, don't anybody mention it. But all that flooding in Texas came from a tropical depression. Not a big old badass hurricane. Not even a tropical storm. It's just a tropical depression. Just loaded up with a lot of rain because it's so gosh darned hot, and the ocean is so gosh darned hot, and that whole transpiration cycle thingy happened with extreme prejudice and fell all over the southeast Texas coast. I believe the headline, and I saw Dr. John pointing it out, the big above-the-fold headline of the Houston Chronicle showed a picture of a man walking through floodwaters up to his shoulders, and the great big banner headline said, "Swamped Again." They might want to just keep the setup for that. Because going forward, it's a good bet that they're going to use it again and again and again and again, because the climate crisis is real. And it was, and today was the global strike, the global climate strikes all over the planet. Millions of people skipped school, stayed out of work, and gathered to demand real action on climate change. There were rallies in over 150 countries, and they were scheduled for this day, because of the imminent opening of the United Nations General Assembly and the Climate Action Summit. That happens on Monday. And I reiterate that the United States is not welcome to speak because the United States is run by a bunch of feckless idiots who do not acknowledge that climate change is even real. The protest in New York City alone was massive. Greta Thunberg said Lower Manhattan is absolutely packed with people. Three million people are estimated to have gathered in those 150 locations around the planet. And that was before the sun ever even rolled onto the Western Hemisphere. Big rally at UC Berkeley. Middle schoolers led the walkout. A tremendous gathering at the State House in Minnesota. Seven thousand companies even promised to put banners on their websites or donate ad space for it in an act of solidarity and support. How about that? So it will, it remains to be seen if anything's going to come of it. I hope it does. I said, because, well, life on planet Earth depends on it. But never mind. Back to America's most self-absorbed human being. That's right. John McCain's daughter.
Yesterday, but it's continuing. The whistleblower scandal is getting juicier and juicier. The latest reports claim that the complaint made to intelligence officials involved Trump trying to get the Ukraine government some speculate it was to get dirt on Joe Biden and his son Hunter. He's the one that is was in some kind of a thing. I don't know what it was. Some scandal with a business thing, all right. To help his 2020 election. This is what we think Trump is up to. Trump's consigliere, the fabulous Rudy Giuliani, was on CNN last night, and Chris Cuomo asked him if he did any...
And of course, we already know this part, but what does it say when Rudy Giuliani becomes a punchline on The View? When by merely saying Rudy Giuliani, you can get a laugh out of the audience. That probably says even more than his incoherent babbling the previous night over on CNN.
He's digging around. Watch.
Did you ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
No, actually I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed,
right,
dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't ask him to look into Joe Biden. I asked him to look into the allegations that related to my client.
Rudy, compose yourself so you can get your lies straight, okay? So, has everything cleared up now?
I'm blown away. Even Nixon's assholes had more on the ball than this gang of Lulus. As to Rudy's choice of words, Scott in San Diego points out, your network is a creature. Yeah, interesting. I think back to the typical charges leveled at innocent folks during the Red Scare of the 1950s. A favorite slur was to call liberals or any other opponent of McCarthy-like tactics one of old Joe Stalin's little creatures. Dear sweet Jesus, meek and mild, can we ever be rid of these scum? And not until we shave their heads and make them march through the town square. And by the way, all that business in that clip from Giuliani there. Remember the little revelation that David in South Carolina Stan shared with us yesterday evening. To the effect that Russian state TV, 5 days ago now. I forget exactly what the timing was, but pointed out that what Donald Trump really needed to be looking into was to. To find the truth that Ukraine was the one was the country that meddled in the elections, and there was Rudy parroting the Russian state TV talking point word for word. Why, it's as if they had things that they had put in his ear. It was terrible, Captain, terrible. But let's finish the high comedy here, and go on to that wonderful part where Meghan McCain gets her pogo stick out and starts leaping at the transept of the cross. Because it got bad enough that she wound up storming off the set. Which she has become, well, I don't know, maybe she was channeling her inner Jeanine Pirro. That's a gross thing to think about all by itself. Oh, God, this computer's giving me fits. Ah, this makes me crazy. I can't wait to get the sound card fixed this weekend. Because this is just madness. Basically, I'm operating off a different computer. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, by the way, I don't know about the other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, but I saw the video of that Giuliani scream-off. I swear to Jesus, Rudy's forehead wrinkles were trying to spell SOS during that entire 28 minutes. You could practically hear the "I can't do this anymore" in his whimpering voice. God, that's good. All right, is it even possible to get back to the madness? I don't know. try this again. These little tech gremlins are kind of a booger. Let's see here. This is just okay. This may work. Machine's just so ever-loving slow. Let's cut to the chase. Because everybody, you know, everybody gets to say something, and then Megan gets to jump up on the cross.
He traveled to the Ukraine, okay. So it's not just a distraction. This is sort of an actuality, right? Mm-hmm. I've got to tell you, I'm not surprised that, if true, that Trump would have promised aid to the Ukraine in return for dirt on a political opponent.
Right.
If true. But it is illegal, I would think, on...
True enough. But the other part about all this is that it lends credence, because what's passed is prologue, and conduct that is repeated time after time after time, creates what the law considers pattern and practice. And so what the admission by Giuliani that he did this does is to reinforce the reality of the Hillary Clinton Russian dirt meeting at that tacky, probably bedbug infested pile of bricks known as Trump Tower. Okay, pile of glass and steel. So, I mean, it kind of makes it a lot more, well, real. And yeah, really illegal.
Ethical, I would think, but it is something that we saw before, as you alluded to, with the Mueller report. If you look at page 93 of the Mueller report and 110 of the Mueller report, I hope everybody read it. That was one of my recommendations for ladies who get lit. If you look at those pages, it does talk about that Trump Tower meeting. It does talk about George Papadopoulos, you know, hearing about dirt on Hillary Clinton, and the Trump campaign wanted that dirt. Trump Jr. wanted that dirt. They wanted it really badly. And the reason that I have often said that impeachment is important here is because that's a congressional power. It's a constitutional duty of Congress to oversee this president and tell him.
She's downright rational, isn't she? Well, that's not going to last. Because, well, Meghan McCain.
Facts. There's no gray area. It's a black or white.
Know,
and this is what we
things.
Do every
well,
single day. And that would give Trump all the more ammunition, if this isn't even true, yeah, to say, see, this is what the media does.
Well, no. Abby, you and I were struggling with the same thing, but this is what I do know. We had Pamela Anderson on a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and I took her to task about Julian Assange. And there's a lot of liberals who are okay with Julian Assange
not
releasing
this one.
Hillary's emails. Okay, he's a, quote, whistleblower. I called him a cyber terrorist. And now at the same time, those same people are screaming bloody murder about this situation right now, about this whistleblower. I think all interference from a foreign country in our election, all of it is bad and should be condemned. And you can't play party politics with this. And there's a lot of people on the left who are doing that.
So with who Julian are you Assange. Mad at here? Are you Excuse mad at me, the whistleblower? I'm still speaking. I'm asking the question.
I'm mad that there are people on the left that think that Julian Assange is okay, that he's some kind of patriot whistleblower when he did interfere in our election. You can see all the emails.
I'm on the left. I don't agree with that at all.
Well, there are many people. I was taken to task by many Bernie supporters who think it's okay. People who have difference of opinions. I believe you in particular, and I don't want to speak for you because I don't remember exactly, but I know that you and I diverged on that issue. And I think all of it has to be condemned all the way around. And I get frustrated when I do that because I think all interference from foreign adversaries
Hot
in our
take.
Country is dangerous and should be illegal.
Right.
But there's a lot of people on the left that are okay with Julian Assange, but aren't okay with this
whistleblower. But that's why the whistleblower is a hero in many ways, because he's...
How did Julian Assange get in this? That weird right-wing libertarian dude who said he would probably be a Republican if he were an American. Where did that false equivalence what was the biological process, the bioelectric process whereby that somehow just sort of happened in her thin gray settlings that slosh around between her ears and pass for brains.
Protecting
but
us ju- from
but Julian
from
Assange
Trump and
released
the
Hillary
Ukraine.
Clinton's emails.
What?
Julian Assange and WikiLeaks released Hillary Clinton's emails, which I believe and many, I think any person could believe directly impacted the outcome of that presidential
yes.
election.
People's lives
right?
in danger.
Yes, and
Absolutely.
Put people's lives in
Absolutely.
Danger. Thank you so much. And our spies and many people in the military. So if you have a problem with this whistleblower or you think he's a hero, then you should have a problem with WikiLeaks as well at
well,
the same time.
I'm with you. I have a problem with both. But,
yeah.
but the difference.
The
thank
whistle-
you so much.
But the difference. What I see as a difference, though,
of
is I think that if
difference.
We don't talk about it, and I think that if there is not public pressure, they'd like for it to go away. Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the administration, the people who are actually impacted by this, the people who send out Rudy
All
Giuliani.
All Americans are impacted by this.
No, well, what I'm talking
now.
About, the administration. I'm talking about sending Rudy Giuliani out to distract us. I'm talking about telling us yesterday that, I don't know, Stephen Miller is actually dating a human being, not an inflatable, to distract us.
I don't know what that means.
But it's an attempt at humor.
She doesn't know what that means because it's all about Megan, our little nutmeg. Yes.
Is asking if Nancy Pelosi is going to impeach the president over this, and we don't even know what happened yet. And I'm like, this is insanity. Why are we talking about Nancy Pelosi impeaching the president?
There's way too much talk about impeachment.
I'm confused in this.
That's Abby Huntsman, Meghan McCain's fellow traveler. Nope, don't say it. Don't say it, Bob. No, don't say it. Okay, not going to say it.
That, so people, you're saying, Megan, that people are against this whistleblower?
There's a lot of people who are okay with what Julian Assange did who are not okay with what this, or this, or I'm sorry, that are okay with what Julian Assange did and not okay with what this whistleblower did.
And who
or
are those
okay,
people?
I'm sorry. Who? There's a lot.
That doesn't even make sense. There are a lot of people who are okay. Well, that would be Republicans. McCain, the daughter. Darlene in Connecticut writes, McCain, the daughter, engaged in the Republican biological process of whataboutism. What about? What about? Oh, my God.
A lot of people who defend Julian Assange. There's a lot of people in this country. There's a lot of people on the hard left that defend Julian Assange.
Well, let's say
a
lot of but the left is happy that there's a whistleblower blowing the whistle on Trump. The left is happy about that.
What
she's
saying, though, is what Julian Assange did, in my mind, too, is just as dangerous as what the president is being charged with doing, or people are assuming that he did. It's putting people's lives in danger. It's putting our national intelligence. It's throwing them completely under the bus for their own
Maybe I was clumsy in the way that I said
I'm 2 feet away. I don't need you to scream at me this way.
No, Nutmeg, you were only clumsy in the way you said it, if you're using clumsy in the sense of the word that means utterly stupid. Which is pretty much where Steve from New York goes. Why did she mention Julian Assange? It's very simple, Bob. She's just dumb. There we go. And Steve, who is in New York, by the way, reminds us, Giuliani is a punchline on The View, but he's also a punchline in New York. And yes, Ron and Raleigh, a tropical depression is when you get real sad in the Caribbean. It's so hot. It's so humid. Oh, they're out of pina coladas and daiquiris at the bar. Oh, no. No, it's when Houston gets flooded every time it fucking rains. That's what it is. The city fathers of Houston were not particularly adept at citing the city. S-I-T-I-N-G, not C-I-T-I-N-G. Clarence in South Carolina says, the latest scandal the Trump administration spin is in disarray. The timeline will expose them. The whistleblower time-stamped info will not jibe with Giuliani's accusations. These guys are in full-on panic mode. Ron in Raleigh asks, have you noticed that when Republicans are lying their asses off, they start talking louder and louder and faster and faster? We saw this the other night with Benny the Jet Shapiro. They all do it. I wonder if Rudy would maybe show little Benny a penis. Has anyone helped Benny that way yet? I don't know. Don't want to think about it. Steve adds, my first inclination was to want Cuomo to just cut him off. But the more I thought about it, I think letting him morph into Grandpa Simpson was more beneficial. In those days, I tied an onion to my belt, which was the fashion at the time. Oof. Yeah, it was. I agree with Steve. He said, that wasn't even whataboutism. Bob, seriously. It's a complete non sequitur. Yeah, I can go along with that. So, there we are. And here we are. And consequently, we're past the top of the hour. And it's time to wander over to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and see what's going on around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. We'll get connected up here in a minute and be ready to go. By the way, we've still got $140 to go on Charlene's Dear God, No, Not the Deplorables Choir Again challenge. $140, and hopefully we'll knock that out in the next slightly less than 2 hours. Let's see what's going on over at the man cave. Hey, Sparky.
Hello.
There you are.
Hang on. I'm behind. I got 2 computers going. I'm using the laptop for Skype, and I was just listening on the other.
I gathered that was probably what happened.
I had to kill the other one. I got new speakers for it. That's why I went.
Oh, nice.
They're excellent.
They sounded good, what little of them I heard a moment ago.
Oh, good. But don't ask me to play the Deplorable Choir.
Oh, I won't ask you to play it. Just because you actually heard the whole thing, didn't you?
No. I shut it off.
That was a little strange.
Hang on while I mute people. They're there. Okay.
All better?
No, I'm trying to keep Clarity's microphone muted because it's noisy.
Ah, I see. Clarity, how about muting on your end until you're ready to jump in?
Well, I just muted him.
Her.
I had that power.
I see, but what do we do if she wants to get into the conversation?
She just unmutes.
Oh, okay. So, okay, it's a co-equal power. Got it.
Yeah, for people that are slow on the switch.
Okay, good deal. Well, with any luck, maybe we will not have a reason to play the deplorable choir. Although if John Bredebo wanders by, we're going to have to. You realize that?
Or send him the link.
That's John Bredebo material.
Yeah, I don't know if you play that on his program though. Anyway, I'm sitting here at the north door, staring at the pomegranate tree, looking at Mount Lassen, got a little light dusting the snow with this last rain we had, and watching the buzzards put on a gliding, a soaring demonstration over the pasture.
A little bit windy there today, huh?
Can you hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it is windy. I'll move away from the door. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, hey, Sparky.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? I thought you were referring to the flying chimpanzees there. The buzzards.
No. They're not
chimpanzees.
They're turkey vultures.
No, I know. I know.
Well, it's
nastiest
weird.
nastiest looking bird up close you ever want to see, but when you watch them fly, they're more majestic than anything.
They are majestic. Yeah, they are ugly, the face, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now,
I even threw some food out into the pasture for them.
Does the endangered California condor extend that far north?
No, we never extended up here. It was always down south. Its range is down south. I forget what mountain range it is.
Robert in Morgantown sent me a link, and Agnes had pointed it out to me, too. We've got a little bit of an infestation problem here in West Virginia and on the East Coast. A migration of what is called the black vulture from areas of Central America like Guatemala. Have become a real problem in central Appalachia, because while they're vultures and you tend to think of them as carrion, they're aggressive and they will attack living things. They'll attack your pets, and they've even been known to slash tires.
Oh, come on!
No shit. It's not out of the onion.
What is the hell do they think a tire is? It's some kind of something to eat?
Well, they're that aggressive.
Anyway, I threw an electrocuted rat into the pasture yesterday.
You've got the vermin electroplate fired up again?
Oh, yeah, I keep it fired up all the time. And then when you just walk in and the little light's blinking, you know you got something.
Supper!
Plus, Grady noses them out here in the shop. Lets me know there's one back in here or something.
Here's the skinny. A federal biologist says federally protected vultures all great. Jose Grecos de Muertos. Federally protected vultures are invading West Virginia. They migrated from Central and South America about 45 years ago, and they're moving up the East Coast. And this is, the guy is Thomas Elliott, wildlife biologist and district supervisor with the Wildlife Services Program of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Black vultures are predatory creatures with some scavenging tendencies. Biologist Elliott says the birds kill livestock and pets and destroy people's property, even ripping rubber off tires. And the problem is, they have no true predator.
No, the hawks and stuff don't even bother them.
Right. The question is, why are they federally protected? That's kind of odd.
You got me.
Oh, and we've got somebody over on the stress line. Let's find out who's with us this evening. Hey, hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Reggie.
Hey, Reggie, what's up, man?
Long time no hear from Bob. And I wish that they would find Meghan McCain from the View, because this they can't control, restrain, or discipline her, or should I say check her, then she shouldn't be there. She's disrespecting full-grown adults like such as Anna, Sonny, Joy, and definitely Whoopi Goldberg. You know, those who are in the 40s and up, who've done more things than she's herself ever done her whole entire life. We know more about the world and reality than she would ever know.
Well, that's just plain old wealth privilege and personality privilege. If she was who she was and her name wasn't McCain, she would not be allowed within 1,000 statute miles of that studio.
Right. Just because of last name McCain, I think her father's weird, but I thought she got over the grief a year ago. You know, maybe she's still breathing, but it's time to get over. It's become, you know, tiresome. And it's affecting the show and the host that have to work with her. Let alone the cast equipment, you know, production, the network itself in zero period. And her bosses. I mean, their bosses. You know what I'm saying, Ron?
Well, yeah, but remember, it's entertainment.
Yes, that's true. Because it came in. But she shouldn't be, that doesn't give her the right to disrespect people when they have other things that have been heard. Yeah, she reminds me of Dana Loesch. I mean, God, in some way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, in the way that, you know, they're both obnoxious Republicans and gun freaks.
Yes.
I think the end of Meghan McCain's career on The View should have been when she openly and notoriously threatened every American with gun violence if anybody tried to take her AR-15 away from her.
Right. I mean, who does she think she is?
Yeah.
Female Rambo or Pierre or somebody?
Yeah.
Or D.I. Jane? I mean, who does she think she is? Can she use all those weapons? I've never seen her fire. No, I've never seen her fire.
One never knows. All right, well, let's keep the conversation moving. Billable Rick, you said something a moment ago?
Oh, yeah, I was just joking about the turkey vulture that...
Ron and Raleigh jumped in and said, of course, and I was waiting for it, so there's a cowbell involved. Hey, Bob, why do the vultures have to be black? Why can't they be gray? Yeah, that had to happen.
Yeah, that works. So, Yeah, I had a good time last weekend. Ended up going to the Kabu Festival in Del Mar with the lovely Star. And, boy, we saw some great music. You know, where do I start? I don't know. I probably saw like a good dozen bands, at least part of it, you know. And the first night, the lead act was Kings of Leon. We got probably about maybe 30 rows back, okay, on there, you know, to watch them. So we didn't get real close to them. And, you know, the second night was, boy, it's amazing how, let me look at my phone here. I can tell you. we saw some great stuff that was just tremendous. And we ended up, taking bikes down. And probably the only Mercedes in L.A. or in Orange County that has a bike rack on it. And we put them on the roof. And we took them down one time and then kept them in our hotel room the rest of the time and put them back up at the end of the trip. And we rode like 4.5 miles each way to the venue. So like 9 miles a day. And still didn't lose weight, Bob. How does that work?
Could that have something to do with stopping for beers somewhere along the way?
Yeah, drinks, I think. Probably so. Yeah, we had some all sorts of stuff. We had like hard liquor and you know all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I'd say the highlight was probably the last day. We got within probably the first 10 rows to see Sheryl Crow, and then we just stayed there until Mumford and Sons started, and we got at the end of that show, we got within probably the third row, so got some really, really good photos and video, and it's you know, it was just tremendous, you know, just really.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, we really had a good time. I mean, we saw. Do you remember the '80s band, the English, not the English Beat, Squeeze? We saw them play.
Oh, wow. There.
Yeah, we got pretty close.
I love this.
Yeah, and we started out the third day with Toots and the Maytals. And did some tooting for that, let's just say. And we saw Dave Matthews the second night. He was okay. You know, he was like, you know, they paused like at the end of each song, like 30 to 60 seconds. It's like, oh, has the concert ended yet? It's almost like they didn't know what they wanted to play. It was kind of unusual, you know? Yeah, it was just an all around great time, you know? I recommend it to anybody. Unfortunately, they're going to move that away from the Del Mar Fairgrounds next year because their 5-year contract is up, and they're now going to have it at the Petco Stadium where the Padres play. So I'm just kind of wondering how that's going to work, you know? Don't know, you know?
No kidding.
That means you got to go further into San Diego instead of Del Mar. That sucks.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as you stay in downtown San Diego, it's easy. You don't have to worry about, you know, bike, you know.
Just stay out of El Cajon.
Yeah, stay out of El Cajon with the diseased little white kids.
Yeah, no, of course I will. I'm not going to go there, that's for sure. No way.
Hey, yo,
oh,
Rick.
Hold up.
Yeah. What did you do to Joe? Because he's, you know, we were supposed to meet for breakfast on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I got a text message. I didn't get the text message until I actually got to the restaurant.
Yeah.
He sent me a text message. Yeah, I ate something bad, and so I couldn't meet you for breakfast. I went out with Rick on Tuesday night. So what did you guys do? I call hangover. So yeah.
No. Joe drank absolutely zero beers or Long Island iced teas at the American Legion on Tuesday night. He was there. I called him up. It was like 9 o'clock. I said, "Hey, Joe, are you coming?" Or I texted him, "Joe, are you coming?" You know, because he was going to meet me there and he was going to watch the game. And he was asleep. He must have been tired. And so he called me and said, "Oh, geez, you know, what's going on?" And I said, "Oh, come on down." And he got on his way over there. He got lost.
Oh,
so he finally He finally arrived by about our 16th or 17th game when it was only almost over. It's only 18 games you play in doubles, you know, men's doubles. And he was like pooped. And he actually, you know, he, you know, after American Legion, he went to another place called the Rattler to shoot some pool. And he didn't want to go. So, you know, I said goodbye to him at that point in time. So he was there all of maybe 20 minutes at that. You know, just long enough to say hi to my the captain of the team he really likes, Brett. And then he was gone. So, you know, anything he ate, Tracy, was not under my watch, okay? I'll have you know that.
No, no, you – because I'm like – because I was we were supposed to meet for breakfast on
I know.
Wednesday.
Yeah, he told me he had to cancel that because he felt
yeah, no. bad. No, it's okay.
Tracy, don't let Rick bullshit you, Tracy. He was drinking tequila shots all night and ate the worms.
I know.
Hey, that's Mezcal.
Mezcal, right.
Yeah, Mezcal's right. Got the worm.
Oh, you know who was really good? I forgot to mention Brian Adams. I got probably within about 15 rows to see him. He's really...
Oh, and another thing,
sounds great.
Did you go see Eddie Money sometime earlier? Because I know he passed away. So
I did not see. I cannot take credit. I did not see him at all in 2019. It must have been in 2017, I think, at the Pasadena Pros.
When I saw that Eddie Money died, I'm like, holy shit! Did Rick see Eddie Money?
And then Rick Ocasek died not that long
after. What about the Cars, Rick? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Any of those guys over this year?
No,
holy shit.
Yeah, I never saw the Cars, and Eddie Money's cancer was probably growing in him a long time before I even saw him.
Oh,
so.
Sure. That's what That's what you tell yourself.
uh-huh.
To feel better, right?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever gets you through the night.
Right. Oh, by the way,
I'll tell you what.
I got my T-shirt in the mail the other day for the party. It says I'm going to take a picture of it and send it out to the a group text to the guests. It's a picture of Snoopy on a broom, and it says "Great Pumpkin Believer since 1966."
Oh, nice!
Yeah, so I'm having a Halloween party attire. Party next month, and instead of costumes, I'm telling my guests to wear, you know, t-shirts, sweaters, or whatever. So I got my t-shirt the other day, and it's so cute because I'm like, nice. I don't costumes are you know, I'm like, people go all out for costumes and they get really expensive, and I don't think they're really comfortable. And I want people to enjoy themselves. Oh, and I went downtown today and got old school candy for the. We're gonna have a pinata, of course. I saw a Trump pinata, and I was gonna get it so people could beat the fuck out of it. But I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I got old school. I got Abba Zaba, Charleston shoes.
Bit of honeys.
Couldn't find bit of honey. I was looking for bit of honey.
Oh, lemon heads.
Yes, I found lemon heads, blow pop.
Ooh.
Mary yes. Jane's?
No Mary Jane's.
Oh, God.
Laffy Taffy?
Oh, yes. Shit.
We're going to bob for apples. I'm so fucking excited. We're going to have so much fun. You know what else I'm looking for, Rick? Looking for, you remember the chocolate... this isn't school kids candy, but you know the liquor bottle, the chocolate liquor bottles, the little ones.
Those are great. So. Is that like creme de menthe, or that's different from that? I guess.
I don't know. It's just straight up hardcore liquor in chocolate bottles.
So wow.
That's what I'm looking
Damn.
For.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Those are fun.
Two of the main food groups right there.
Chocolate and booze, baby.
Damn it, you're on to something, Tracy.
yes, you know. I'm going to be saving my points for that week. Fuck yeah. I'm going to actually have... I've actually looked for... I've actually found some really cool Weight Watcher-y type dips. I sent Bob this recipe that I made the other day. A really good dip.
And you can't, you wouldn't even know it's low-cal. It's chocolate, peanut butter powder, chocolate peanut butter powder, honey, and Greek yogurt. And you mix it. Holy shit, it tastes like just regular chocolate peanut butter dip. And I dipped it with strawberries the other day. Holy shit. It was so good.
Oh, I know. No, that was just crazy good.
It was so, and it, because you make it the consistency that you want it. So it was just thick enough that, I mean, and I dipped it with some whipped cream as well. Oh, it was so good. So it's like, I'm going to do that with that. And I'm going to make empanadas, air fried empanadas. I mean, Rick, it's going to be a blast. I am so excited. We went the other day and got, I went downtown to look for the piñatas. There's actually a, you guys, and this is what I love about LA. Yes, there's such a thing in downtown LA as the piñata district, you guys.
Wow.
There's such a thing as the piñata district.
Gotta carry a big stick through there, huh?
Yes, a big stick. So, but the Halloween, I was talking to this wonderful lady down there, and they just finished with Mexican Independence Day. So the Halloween and the Day of the Dead piñatas aren't ready yet. They won't be until, she said, the end of this month, beginning of October. So I left her my number because she's like, I said, what are the going prices? And you can get a nice size, huge piñata. Are you ready? For like $16 instead of like how much you would pay for a piñata at like Party City or what have you. So I'm excited.
I don't know how you stayed away from the Trump piñata.
Yeah, I was gonna say what kind of gelatinous orange goop must be on the inside that piñata.
Oh God, I don't want to think about it.
Well, you know what?
Well, that was an ass beating for dinner in the Central Time Zone right there.
There goes dinner.
Well, you know what? You know,
orange
guys,
goop filled Trump pinata. Let's say that again, just in case anybody was still washing
their hands
and had the water.
But no, you left out
somebody.
Didn't he say gelatinous orange goop?
Yes,
I think he left out gelatinous.
Yes,
gelatinous.
Don't forget the gelatinous. Yeah,
orange butterscotch.
That's what we used to call pumpkin jizz.
Double. There's some real disdain for diners in the Central Time Zone taking place right now.
Well, hey, Tracy. Oh,
yeah, hey, Bob.
We got a hey Tracy and a hey Bob at the same time.
No, I just wanted to report on some breaking news. We just sent a contingent of troops to Saudi Arabia to quote unquote protect them from Iran.
Jesus Christ!
Did they say a number, Steve?
All it said was a modest amount. I didn't see the number.
What the fuck is modest?
I don't know.
What is modest? How many is modest? Is modest two?
The Air Force personnel.
Let me see what it says.
Because it wouldn't make sense to send any army people to Saudi Arabia unless you're going to use them to guard the damn refineries.
Well, given that they've done that, this would be probably a good time to remind folks that according to Osama bin Laden, his stated reasoning for the attacks of September 11th, 2001 was because we had... we had infidel American soldiers on sacred Saudi soil, sand.
That part.
That seems to ring a distant bell, Bob.
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. That's absolutely true.
That's a distant bell ringing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy?
Precise yes, number is not determined.
Oh.
In the hundreds, not thousands, which... Which is stupid. That's nothing but a... Jesus Christ. You know what?
Well, that's a Marine barracks waiting to happen.
Yeah.
God.
God, there goes another distant bell.
Yeah.
The Beirut barracks. Jesus.
He's doing that. Think about what he's doing. He's putting people in harm's way, hoping that something happens, like the Marine barracks. That way he can, you know, use
the... That's the Gulf of Tompkins. That's the Gulf of Tompkins right there.
Well, I mean, but it's also sympathy.
Look what they did to...
Yeah.
I think Steve got muted.
We're halfway through the program this evening, and I just wanted to extend thanks to Chaz. Chaz just took us down to $130 left to go on Charlene's "Oh Dear God, not the deplorable choir again." And we've also got Tracy's "What Charlene Said" challenge. So there's $130 to go on Charlene's challenge. Then we'll go after Tracy's $38. And try to, you know, I don't know, hour and a half. I don't know if we can knock out September's fundraising and just finish, but we can sure try. And it begins with meeting those two challenges. So thank you, Chaz. Thank you very kindly for jumping in on that challenge. You've doubled your money, assuming that the challenge gets met. Thank you very kindly.
Does anybody have a suggestion as to why The View keeps her?
Because
you gotta have a crazy conservative.
Yeah, fair and balanced.
She's
filling the chair at the other end of the counter from Whoopi.
They need somebody on there to do a tried and true Republican tactic. They will yeah butt your ass to death. And all it does is suck the air out of the room and the time off of the clock. And nothing of value ever gets said when you've got the cartoon cat and dog going round and round in a cloud of dust with moons and stars and Saturns flying out of the fray.
But here's the thing. I mean, she's not there just to be the conservative, because Anna Navarro is a conservative. Abby Huntsman is a conservative.
I think she's there to be the dumb blonde. No offense. I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
Comic relief. I mean, come on. I just wish somebody
would be on the...
You're right, Rick. I just wish someone would say that to her. I wish someone would say to her, you know you're only on here because your last name is McCain.
Yeah. Change your last name to Smith and you're out of here, you know, Buster, or whatever you want to call her.
Just go. Tell her
Bozo.
To go,
call her Bozo.
Go back to Fall News, because she's a silly, incompetent...
And you know what?
Well, since the View debuted like 20 years ago, when Barbara Walters was still on it, they have had a seemingly endless parade of ditzy GOP blondes on that. I think there's some merit to the dumb blonde deal. I mean, I hate to use that terminology, but haven't they had at least half a dozen or more people in that same slot?
Well, Scott, that's the entire Faux News business model.
Hey, Scott.
Dumb blondes.
I want to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with using the term dumb blonde here, because she is, in fact, blonde, and she is, in fact, dumb. So it's not a stereotype. It's a descriptive term in this case.
Well, you're right. You're right.
She grates. Because Jan watches The View every day. Well, it watches her, because she just has it on while she's working. And on the occasions that I'm home during the day, and it just, I can't with her.
Yeah, you can't. I just can't.
It just, whenever I hear her voice, it just, it's beyond nails on a chalkboard. Because it's like I literally want to reach through the TV and rip her voice box out.
Yeah,
To be fair,
though, from an art of word knowing standpoint, she is not a dumb blonde. Dumb means to be mute, and Meghan McCain is anything but mute.
But mute. I mean,
yeah. I would say stupid blonde.
It's beyond her stupidity. I think what irritates the fuck out of me the more, because she reeks of privilege, and that It's beyond her stupidity. It's her privilege that pisses me off. Because she acts as though the fucking world revolves around her. And she's as bad as Trump. Because it's always all about her. When that tweet that Trump sent out when Cokie Roberts died. That shit.
Oh, God.
What did he say?
I missed that.
Oh,
yeah, I did too.
Oh, I never met her,
but she treated me badly.
She never treated me nicely.
But I wish her family well.
But I wish her family well. She was a professional.
Does everybody know who her mother and father are or were?
Oh yeah, Hale and Lindy Boggs.
Hale Boggs was brother, on the Warren Commission.
Yeah, we talked about that a few nights ago.
Okay.
Her brother is or was Tommy Boggs, who is one of the biggest lobbyists in Washington, has been for years.
And see, yeah, nil nisi bonum and all of that stuff, but the fact of the matter is, she was, they say, oh, she was a trailblazing pioneer. She was the height of the very worst aspects of journalism, because she was an access journalist. She would let anybody say anything because she wanted access.
Access.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here, how's she different from Meghan McCain? I mean, if she hadn't been Lindy Boggs' kid.
Yeah, but no. I think she's
not as dumb.
No, I think she's got I think she's got a lot of IQ points on Meghan. Our little nutmeg is not the sharpest spoon in the drawer.
And not only
don't even say nice, she can't even, she's not even sharp enough to be it. No.
That's why I said spoon, Tracy. Spoon.
Thank you.
Not only that.
My keychain has IQ points on her. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. Sorry. I'm going
to
mute.
No, that's all right. I was interrupting. Stop interrupting my interrupting.
Okay. Let me interrupt long enough to extend some thanks. So thanks going out. We're knocking this thing right out. Thanks going out to Gary. Gary's with us in the conversation this evening. Thank you, Gary. And thanks to Kat.
You're welcome.
And thanks to Kat in Ohio. So. Let's see. We're down to $60 to go on Charlene's "Dear God, No, Not the Deplorable Choir Challenge," and then we'll start on Tracy's. So there's 60 to go on Charlene's challenge. Then we got 38 to go on Tracy's, and that'll get us past the halfway point, and nearly to the 2/3 point of wiping out fundraising for the month of September, and have 6 lovely days of fundraising free radio, which I enjoy, and I kind of think y'all do too. So, $60 on Charlene's, $38 on Tracy's, and then we'll see if we can knock the rest of it out in about an hour and 18 minutes. So there's $98 total to go in challenges, and then we'll see what happens after that. By the way, a couple of things to share. Darlene in Connecticut with a couple of comments. Great. So now we're Saudi Arabia and Mohammed bin Bonesaw's personal army. Well, you know, I mean, Darlene, you got to remember, they pay cash. But this is interesting. Darlene just sent this along for the breaking news file. Judge orders Trump to answer questions under oath in protesters' case. It's a case involving protesters who were roughed up by Nitwit Nero's security guards. And the judge held that his testimony is indispensable to the matter. Well, he's going to lie. They'll play him the video of saying, beat the shit out of him. And he'll say, well, that's fake video. That's fake news.
Do you think it'll even show up?
Well, it'll obviously be challenged. Mm-hmm. But it's a New York State court judge.
Mm-hmm. He won't show up.
State. He'll claim he doesn't have jurisdiction.
You might even recognize the name, Steve. I don't know how and where you practice, but New York State Supreme Court Justice, and the Supreme Court in New York is the trial court, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. New York State Supreme Court Justice Doris Gonzalez ordered Trump to appear for a videotaped deposition prior to the trial.
Does it say what county?
It's in the Bronx.
Oh, Bronx County. Dolores Gonzalez. She sounds new.
Doris.
I don't know that I've actually heard of her. I don't practice much I don't litigate much anymore. And when I did litigate, it was quite a while ago, and I did a lot of shit in the Bronx, but it's been a while since I've done a lot of shit in the Bronx.
Well, here's what makes it interesting, because trial is scheduled to begin a week from yesterday. So that's telling. The Trump Organization is also a defendant in the case. And when Trump's pettifoggers said that he shouldn't testify because he's too busy presidenting, apparently using, you know, the pretty lawyer language, Justice Gonzalez responded, "Get the fuck out of here."
Well, that excuse didn't work for Bubba very good.
No, it didn't. And, there, you know, that's federal precedent, so...
IOKIYAR though, folks.
Well, yeah, yeah. True enough, Rick. But in terms of New York procedure, Steve, where will that appeal go?
Just a second. First of all, New York's courts in general are fucked up, but it's the Supreme Court, Bronx by county. The trial court, then it's the Supreme Court appellate division and its different departments, and that I think is the first department. It's the same department, or maybe it's the second. See, the second or first department, which is, I think it's the first department, which is the same as Manhattan, which is the same as New York County. New York County is Manhattan, Bronx County is Bronx, Queens County is Queens, Kings County is Brooklyn, and Richmond County is Staten Island.
So let me ask this. I would presume that there will be an immediate appeal, like come Monday, seeking some sort of writ of prohibition against the trial court.
I don't know that would be an interlocutory appeal, and while generally states are a little bit more. Lenient on interlocutory appeals than the feds are, I think you essentially have to get court permission to do that. Obviously it's a very unique circumstance, so I don't know what they would do. It's essentially a discovery motion in order is what it is, and he'll be in. You know, he'll be in contempt. I would be curious to know who his lawyers are. But I don't know if it would be appealed.
His lawyer is Lawrence Rosen.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he seems to have a different lawsuit.
I wonder how many hundreds of lawyers he has.
Yeah, I know there's always a different name because people fire him. They don't, you know, he doesn't pay them after 6 months and they leave. And they probably make motions to be relieved.
The case in question that
RNC was paying all of his legal bills.
The Mexicans are. Exactly.
Now the Saudis are.
The case that is requiring his. Testifying or giving a deposition, doesn't it date back to like 2015 when he became a candidate?
See, here's what it says. It says must tape testimony. So they're going to.
What was that?
I'm just looking at the Times blurb about it. So it's 2015, and here's what's so interesting about that is that it's obviously before he was president.
Well, that's what I was getting at. He was a candidate. So as a private citizen, as a head of a company, caught up in a matter where people have brought legal action, and he, you know, by tradition, people who have worked with him will tell you nothing happens in the Trump Organization without him knowing it.
That's true.
You know?
You know, some, I thought he was running it for president at the time.
No, he wasn't. It's 2015.
Well, that's isn't that when he announced?
Is it? I don't know. Yeah. It's not clear. It is after he announced, I guess. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It doesn't say.
Because that's what prompted the protesters to come around Trump Tower, out of which he was operating at the time.
Uh-huh.
Here's an interesting thing, Bob. Apparently, the New York Court of Appeals has already ruled on the issue, saying that it says a New York appeals court. I don't know which one. that rejected a claim by Trump's legal team that as president, he was immune from state lawsuits.
What?
Well, so if he blows it off, the trial court will issue a rule to show cause, right?
And then he can't
go home to New York.
I mean, he'll be in contempt. They'll issue an arrest warrant. At least I think they will. Oh, I think actually the opposing party has to make a motion for an arrest warrant. But
that's what I meant—a rule to show cause.
Yeah, yeah. But to be honest with you, it's not that. You know, it's not that. I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't put much stock in that. And I'm looking at the article here. It says there's a law professor at Duke University. It says that the chances were good that Trump would end up having to submit to videotaped questioning. I just don't think, and they're citing, you know, this prior president did this and this prior president did that, but he's not going to do it. And he's going to basically dare people to make him.
Yeah, make me.
Make me.
But if he eventually does have to give a video deposition, I hope maybe this is the moment when he has his Captain Queeg incident with his little steel. Yeah, I know. But I can hope.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it. I mean,
well, that's the thing. If he does show up, he will be dosed to the gills.
Can we talk about another lawyer that is in the news?
Yeah, absolutely.
Barry Berg. I want more of him.
Yeah.
That's the guy that questioned what's his nut, right?
Yeah.
You heard of him?
I saw part of it. I don't think Lewandowski knew exactly what happened.
Did you see when he stood up? That guy's huge. I mean, tall. I mean, really tall compared to everybody else in the room in that court.
And he knew how to ask. Pointed. I mean, he's apparently a good lawyer because he had an if A then B then C line of questioning that allowed Lewandowski to paint himself into a corner.
I want to see more of him.
Well, I suspect we will.
He's must see TV.
He better be there when they get McGahn in there.
Well, that's why they changed the rules in the committee to allow counsel to do the questioning. So everybody still gets to go around the room and pontificate and grandstand, but then, you know, then it's nut cutting time.
I'm fine with that.
And he's a good nut cutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Bob, this is something you'll appreciate. A friend of mine just texted me. He's at the Reds game tonight. He got Marty Brenneman's autograph.
Oh, how cool.
For me. He got one for me and one for himself. So
this is
the last homestand. So this is he's winding down. So and that apparently he and Jeff Brantley are broadcasting from the stands tonight.
Oh, have fun!
Yeah. Wish I could have gone, but oh well.
Yeah. So do you ever get to go see the Reds when they come up and like play the Mets?
I don't. I mean, the tickets up here are so fucking expensive. Excuse me. Yeah, no, they're so fucking expensive. I mean, like the cheap seats are $75 a ticket.
Whoa.
You know,
damn.
A beer is $10.
Uh huh.
That's cheap in New York.
That's one of the things I used to love about the new stadium in Pittsburgh. The cheap seats are cheap seats. And it's a pretty good view from dead center field.
How much are they?
Hey, Bob, try Soldier Field.
I'm sorry, what?
Try Soldier Field.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you can't get in there for less than $100.
Oh, no, no, yeah, that right. No, in Pittsburgh, I mean, this was years ago, but God, I don't think we paid more than $12 a seat. Whereas by comparison, I paid like $25 for the same sort of thing to see the Nationals in D.C.
But that's the new park still, right, Bob?
Yeah, yeah.
In Pittsburgh, yeah. PNC, is that what it is? PNC?
Yeah, and yeah. It's a gorgeous park. And you can
best park in baseball.
And you can get
is
and
it
you,
really?
You can get sauerkraut pierogies and Permane Brothers sandwiches in the concessions area.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Yep, best park in baseball, and I've been to them all.
You have been there, haven't you, Joe?
I'm your baseball correspondent. You know, like Bilbo Rick is your movie correspondent. I'm your baseball correspondent.
Yeah, you know, Tracy's still in the room, and she's not entirely convinced that you weren't hung over to the bejesus belt the other day when you blew off breakfast.
Well, Rick gave me some vegetables, and I think they did me in.
We get to finally we get to the crux of the matter. It's billable. Rick
did not admit to that.
Joe. It is billable Rick's fault, and you just dropped the dime on him.
But I gave Rick all the booze, and he gave me the chewables. It was a fair trade.
Scott, did you have any of those too?
You writing this down, Tracy?
You guys were.
Well,
edibles got to you?
Something got to me.
Well, some of those edibles though will creep up on you. Like those Fruit of the Loom shorts, you know? But so to answer your question,
you get a very small jingle
your question,
for that, Scott.
What color was it?
The shorts or the edible?
The edible.
I didn't have any.
They were Trump specials. They were called Agent Orange.
Well,
orange edibles.
When we had our little mini horn in almost 2 weeks ago, we didn't even drink it out that. I guess the boys were saving their drinking for the Padres game.
Well, I had to drive, so.
I'm still waiting. Okay, Scott, you may have to save nickels for a slap year, but I've got to have a report on the pulque at that one restaurant.
I've never been down there. I thought Rick and Joe were going to try to go.
No, after all the fun we had there at the, what was that, the Outback, we just went to the game.
I was just glad in hindsight that I didn't sing at the Mini Horn Inn because Rick was right there across from me. And you know how Rick does when it comes to singers. In Rick's proximity, you know.
Come on, Scott, give us a few bars.
Yeah, please.
Till your son turns Nelly. No.
Yeah, and, but you were not. Rick's not there, so don't worry about it.
And Scott, they would have had to bury you out back.
Oh yeah, yeah. In a Bloomin' Onion to go styrofoam box.
Hello, Steve from Georgetown.
Yeah, I saw the early Kyler icon come on, and it made me smile.
Hey,
is Steve there?
How you doing, brother? Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
I've got goodies for you later.
Oh, nice, man. I'm always looking for something cool to watch, you know. And I hope you all are doing well, man.
It started out as a little gray today, but man, it turned beautiful.
As well as you can do with Trump being upright and above ground. You know?
Well, let's not even talk about him for the next 10 seconds. The weather has been great here in Georgetown. My gosh, if we could just get this and keep it, bottle it year round, shit, I'd never want to move.
This is the greatest time of the year now when with this kind of weather.
Yeah.
We're moving into Indian summer.
Cool. So how's Duncan been? You been okay, brother?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
I haven't doing anything crazy except doing some yard work.
We have to be politically correct. That's Native American summer. Thank you.
Yeah. Brother Native Bob, American, I hope you're doing well, my friend.
Okay.
Joe, you're back.
Rick.
How you doing?
I recovered.
Good. Good. I did some explaining for you with Tracy.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Yeah, Rick, I guess you missed it. Joe dropped the dime on you, dude.
Oh, for what?
He said you gave him edibles.
No.
Yeah, I gave you booze and you gave me edibles.
There's going to be a knock on your door there.
I didn't even have them with me. They're with the lovely Star. They put me to sleep. I can't do those. Who wants to go to sleep?
Yeah, right.
Get a sleeping pill if you want to go to sleep. Come on.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, for me, you know, because geezer, cannabis is a social thing. And everybody just sitting around chewing on an edible like cattle chewing a cud, it seems to defeat the purpose.
Don't bogart that dummy.
I mean,
it's not like you can pass it around. You don't pass around the edible, Bob, do you?
Right.
Like,
no, here, I mean, take it from my mouth, period. As just alluded to, the little feet did not write, "Don't chew up all the edible." They wrote, "Don't bogart that joint."
That is true.
Yeah, but now, Bob, it's a Sutra Mini vaporizer.
There's a Batman in the bathtub, too, you know.
I said, Juanita, my sweet Juanita, what are you up to, my Juanita?
Well, I hope everybody's doing good, man. I've missed you guys.
Are you okay? You sound a little plugged up.
Bob, yeah, I'm fine, brother. I'm fine.
I mention it because I don't know if it's the thistles or the milkweed or the ragweed or the goldenrod.
All of the above.
I wake up every morning and feel like somebody's turned me upside down and poured my sinuses full of cement.
Even I guess we call them chiggers. I don't know what you guys call them. They're like little microscopic bugs. You can't see them, but
they burrow under your skin and make you miserable.
Yeah, they've been eating up little Cletus. They've been eating me up, and I'm gonna have to get sprayed. Spray the yard, man.
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, when you get them though, you do know the best way to get rid of them once they're in or on you.
I've been soaking in Epsom salt, Bob. If you got a better remedy, please share.
Clear nail polish.
No shit. I got like ammonia sticks. It smells like ammonia, you know.
No, but clear nail polish. If you just put a little dot of clear nail polish on the chigger bite, let it dry, and then peel it off, the little bastard will come out stuck to it.
And then this came out of nowhere, too, man. I mean, we were fine one night, and the next morning, and I woke up, and Cletus is scratching, I'm scratching, and shit, everybody's scratching.
Oh, you sure you didn't spend the weekend at a Trump hotel and get bed bugs?
I thought about that, but I didn't, you know. Hey, Chris, how you doing, brother?
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Good to hear from you, brother. Good to hear from you, man. Good to hear from you. Yeah, now, this is classic Chigger Bites, because it's not poison ivy. I mean, what the hell else could it be, you know?
Yeah, no, they're hateful little bastards. Ask the lovely Miss Karen if she's got any clear nail polish.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be clear. It's just, you know, otherwise you're walking around with, like, pink or red or purple or whatever dots on your extremity. Because they always get you, like, from the knee down.
Shit. To quote a movie, I think it was War Games, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do some good, you know? Jesus Christ, these little fuckers are nasty, man.
And they get bad, I think, when it's hot and dry, which it's been.
Yes. I mean, all our ponds are drying up now. I mean, there's no in-between anymore. It's either, you know, balls out, water, or everything's drying up, man.
Say, Steve, who's going to win the game tomorrow night, man? Irish and Georgia.
I got to go with Georgia just because I live here, you know. But that
I'm
doesn't
an Irish fan, man.
Damn thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I got to go with Georgia because Irish suck.
I got to go. Well, yeah, I'm Georgia too because I just think Notre Dame is consistently overrated, and then we find that out every time they play somebody from the SEC.
Yeah,
brother Steve, was that you I heard on Randy?
I heard you on Randy, Steve.
Yes, it was me. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was just walking in here, Steve.
You did a good job, man. Good job.
What did I say?
You were talking about all this nonsense that's going on, and you know what litigation. Shit, I can't remember, but whatever. It was
I talked about high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah, you explained the difference. You explained the difference between the misdemeanor and so forth, and you just basically said we're headed for a territory that, you know, we just don't know if we can get out of.
Too many people, when they read the term high crimes, and they think high crimes is one thing and misdemeanors are another, and a misdemeanor is, you know, like a traffic ticket, and that's not what it means. It's a term of art that comes from the 13th century. It means abuse of power. So high crimes and misdemeanors, you have to take the whole thing.
Yeah, it's one thing.
Yeah.
One or the other. Well, Joe, you sound
No,
good,
that's
brother.
The whole. No, Steve, wait. It's not one or the other. High crimes and misdemeanors is one thing. So there's not a category called high crimes and a category called misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors is just a phrase that describes malfeasance in office.
Yeah. Abuse of power, stuff like that.
Brother Bob, I could start a conversation. How much more of this bullshit we going to take? But I'm done. I've run out of it, you know? I'm done, man.
Well, whenever they throw Rudy out there, shit's going to come down. There's about
didn't
ready
he,
to be,
didn't
know,
he look
to
like
down.
A total moron last night? Jesus.
It wasn't just a look.
Yeah, what was the spew that was coming out of his mouth, too?
He's completely deranged.
Jesus, we've got to get rid of these fuckers.
Morning Joe said he was Colonel Jessup.
Yeah, on acid.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay, cowbell for you there, Bob.
Whatever you think of Colonel Jessup, he was coherent. Might have been crazy, but he was coherent.
And the thing is, it's not so much... I don't know. Maybe we can include Giuliani in our Captain Queeg references now.
Was Agent an interview I missed? What happened?
I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Washington Journal, but it's went totally off the fucking rails, man. I can't listen to that shit anymore, man.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Well,
you're the Washington Journal correspondent.
I know,
yeah, you and Todd.
I can't do it.
Dude, you cannot leave Todd hanging like that.
Yeah,
it's too much for one man.
I love Todd, and he knows that, but Jesus Christ, man, it's just went
Captain,
totally
he can't stand much more.
Steve, I'm gonna.
That's where that you have to watch that. That's all you can watch.
Go ahead, Scott.
Steve,
with the
yeah.
I'm gonna have to calm you down and give you something to aim for.
Okay. Well, no, wait. We're just past the top of the third hour. This is. Well, hold on. Just time out. Let me, because I got a thank you to send out. Big thanks to Brian. Brian just took us down to $35 to go. $35 to go to finish Charlene's Oh Dear Jesus, No, Please, Not the Deplorable Choir Challenge. $35 left to go on that.
Impeach the Motherfucker Challenge. And that would still happen.
Yeah. Well, you remember
Steve, do you know who?
The other night, Tracy got it. And just Tracy kept it real simple and just called it the Fuck Trump Challenge. So we got $35 to go on that, and $38 to go on Tracy's. So let's knock out Charlene's challenge, and then get to Tracy's challenge, which she's rounded up from 37 point decimal to 38 in celebration of all the weight that she's knocked off since she's gotten all healthy and swimming and running, and she's doing a 5K tomorrow.
Well, God bless Tracy.
Way to go, Tracy.
Duncan, were you trying to address me or?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you'd seen the Deplorable Choir yet. Bob keeps threatening to play it.
It's nothing to write home about. I looked them up on the internet. They're not very
well. Good. I've got it queued up. The Guns, God and Guns Appreciation. Have you done listened to that one, Bob?
Yeah, that's the one I played.
Oh, okay.
What verse in the Bible does it talk about guns and appreciate God?
Well,
it's right there in
Third Winchester, where Jesus says, "Take up thy AR-15 and follow me."
Next to the two armed Corinthians, right?
Two Corinthians walk into a bar.
Yeah,
it's a book of McGillicuddy.
With guns.
It's Paul's letter to the Lilliputians.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. Steve, to help talk you in off the edge.
Yes, sir.
And I will make it a point. I have no idea what the topic will be on the Saturday morning edition of Washington Journal, but I will make it a point to fire up the laptop so I can watch C-SPAN 1, and I will make it a point to try to get in. Bring a little sanity. I've heard you once or twice
in the past. Is that an audio hallucination, or have I heard you call in?
No, it's my calls to Washington Journal are few and far between, but I usually make a few cogent points, and you can almost hear their heads explode out there in red America.
You know what they're doing now, Scott. They call in on all three lines. They call in the Democrat. I used to be a Democrat, but they call it on the independent line. Well,
my favorite is, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me.
Yeah.
God damn those fuckers, man.
Hey, Bob, I got a question. So I flipped over here. I didn't get to hear the entire Sam Cedar show today. But he started out, he said Betsy DeVos, there was a story about her. She's threatening Duke and I think North Carolina University, their Middle East studies programs, because they don't talk about Jesus enough or something like that. Did you hear anything about this story?
No, the only recent DeVos story I saw was that she's going after the LGBTQ community.
A big surprise there. God, that woman. God, we got to impeach her ass, too. Get her ass up there in front of the committee and unleash that lawyer, the tall lawyer that's
Burr.
Was talking about. Yeah, get her up in front of the committee. Yeah.
Didn't he get his chops as a First Amendment lawyer? Barry Burke? That sounds awfully familiar. He sounds like a First Amendment lawyer. I don't know if Steve.
Well, no, he's chief counsel to the House Intelligence Committee.
Okay, but I thought he was.
If you do a Google search on him, you'll find the law firm he's on leave from.
Okay, but for some reason I thought he was famous also as being like a First Amendment attorney, you know, like from, you know, defending media or, you know, prosecuting people for, you know, a slander, libel, that kind of thing, you know. Who knows?
You'll find his whole history if you go look on the internet.
Yeah, I'll do that when I have a chance.
I read a lot of it, but I can't regurgitate it right now.
But Bob, maybe that might be a good story to get ready for prayer meeting Wednesday.
I just put a link to it in the chat room. Yeah, the feds want there. They cite the Islam focus in review of the Duke in UNC language grant.
So what is her deal? I don't quite get it, Steve. What?
I guess they focus too much on Islam. I mean, what do you expect from the Secretary of Education from Amway? I mean, seriously.
The Secretary of No Education.
The Secretary of Didn't Graduate College. I mean, that's no slur on not going to college, but you should know a little bit about all aspects of education, including college, if you want to be the Secretary of Education. Now, if she wanted to be the Secretary of Done Graduated Sixth Grade alongside Jethro Bodine, that's a different thing, but we don't have one of those. And Steve, thank you very kindly to you and the lovely Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Apparently, they went out and found some bones, did they? Because where were we?
Yes, sir. Well, Cletus, when she was scratching the chiggers off, she found a few bones for you.
Well, we're down to just $20 to go to finish Charlene's challenge, and that's deeply inspiring. That means we got about 45 minutes. To knock out $20 and plus 38, so that's $58 in about 45 minutes, and we will have both challenges covered.
Well, we got to keep this going, or I'll lose my fucking mind, man.
I'll throw in 10, Bob.
Hey, thanks, Christopher.
Christopher from Oregon.
Yes, thank you, Christopher. So that's ten to go on Charlene's and 38 to go on Tracy's. That's pretty
huge.
Well,
thank you, Charlene, and thank you, Tracy.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Man, I wish I was a gazillionaire and I could just pay off your debts for the next 30 years. You know, I would
every now and then, Agnes and Alva talking, I said, you know, well, when we win the Mega Millions tomorrow, because, you know, got to keep hope alive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
One in 2.3 million.
I'm still holding out hope for that Andrew Yang, $1,000 a month for a year.
Yeah, well,
I'll take it. What the hell, man?
I don't mind putting up with, you know, campaign emails if I have a chance to win.
Did you send in the essay, Scott?
Yeah.
You did.
Well, are you going to read it to us? Did you save a copy?
Somewhere on the old hard drive. No, it was just pretty brief. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that I've talked about off and on the front porch and in calls to Bob, just me and him. You know, people in the upper echelons of America don't realize how critical things are for most people in this country. They just have no idea that a lot of us are just fucking hanging on from day to day, from week to week, by our fucking fingernails.
Yep.
And you know, they would think nothing of having their, pardon me, their medical needs attended to quickly and competently. It's just a no-brainer for them, the ease with which, and Bob knows this, Jesus, the flaming hoops that he has to jump through. I mean, in some ways, he's worse off than I am, because I at least have Medicare, Medi-Cal, and Social Security. He doesn't live in a place where such things are possible.
Well, or, I mean, we've got the expansion. I just, you know.
Well, yeah, you have a qualification.
But yeah. You're in the donut hole, right?
Well, yeah, I'm between the cracks.
Yeah, and that is my point. There are people in this country, more of them than you know, than most people know, that are just at the abyss. They're staring down into the abyss from day to day, and I mean, Trump is symptomatic of what happens when people are so desperate they'll grasp at anything, thinking that it might offer some promise for them. You know?
Well, and Scott, you would never know this from listening to the news, the corporate media, and oh, look at the stock market is up again. Oh, it went down a little bit, but now it's bounced back. And
doesn't
and
affect them.
Look at the GDP.
They don't even realize it doesn't affect them.
Yeah, and you would. It's amazing. It's just such a dichotomy. And
well,
that 1% or even the top 10%, they are completely clueless as to everybody else in the country.
Well, to hear Trump tell it, let's say with black folks, everything's tickety-boo with the American black in this country. Okay?
It's never been better.
Couldn't be better.
Scott, say that again. What is it? Tickety-boo?
Tickety-boo.
Yes.
Look it up.
Tracy, still listening?
East Coast. But here's the deal. There was a thing in the New York Times. There was a thing in the New York Times, I think, or maybe it was the Post. I'm pretty sure. Well, maybe it was the Post. Wherever it was. It was the Post or the Times looking back at a debate at a college in England between James Baldwin and William F. Buckley in 1965.
Oh, God, that almost sounds unfair.
Find that article, because embedded in it is the one-hour debate between Buckley and Baldwin. And listen to that debate, listen to what Trump has to say, and then look around you and tell me, yeah, granted, there have been improvements in the lot of black folks in this country. But it's like, I forget who said it, the future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed yet. Some famous thinker said that some years ago. And that's where we are. Yes, we've made some pretty good strides. You know, I'll pat myself on the back for that and our country. But don't just rest on your laurels based on what was done in 64 and 65 and maybe a little bit later on.
Or undone, you can't do that. Or undone a few years ago by old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, who declared that there's no such thing as racism in America anymore.
Yeah, and exactly. Look at what Reagan did to the safety net programs in this country that affected the poor generally and the black people particularly. And then look at what Clinton did, the so-called reform of welfare.
The era
give me a fucking break.
The era, and yeah, he wagged that knuckle at us and said, the era of big government is finally over.
Well, fuck him. With friends like that.
Well, right, because, see, if you, that welfare reform bullshit was so sickening because he went along with Newt Gingrich because he thought they might, you know, the Republicans might like him a little better if he would just shit on poor people like they like. And no, it didn't make a damn bit of difference. And then a couple of years back, if you go and find the story, the woman that he had standing with him when he signed the welfare reform into law is dead now. And she, as a result of his reforms, died a horrible, miserable death after a horrible, miserable life.
Well, Bob, I get push alerts on my phone every day saying, you know, what a horrible shape the economy's in and this inverted yield curve. And we keep having to inject money into the Fed every night so they have money to pass around to each other. That's not good, man.
It's still inverted, Steve?
Yes.
That's been going on for how long now? A couple of months?
Yes, and I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, Rick, but
what happens is it periodically gets inverted. It hasn't stayed consistently inverted.
All right, Steve, but they have been injecting money for the last four nights.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard that from Richard.
Back and forth to each other. That's not a good sign.
They lowered
Steve
interest
in Georgia Sand.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is not part of my official TV viewing tip, but at Todd's suggestion about a week ago, last night I watched the 5 or 6 part series from the BBC television called Pandora's Box. And some of it is dated, but the concepts it presents are worthwhile to review and to remind ourselves of. It's on YouTube. There's one link where you bring up the link and then you watch all 5 or 6 parts easily. You don't have to go searching for them. But it's a documentary series called Pandora's Box, you know, talking about the Fed and monetary policy and that bullshit Milton Friedman thing, scam that was run on America for a long time under Reagan and people of that mindset.
It's Chile, just, too, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. It'll make your boil blood, yeah. It'll do that, too. But it'll make your blood boil.
Why would we have to keep injected money, you know, liquidity into the financial systems? This has gone on for the last 4 or 5 nights. Something is not right.
The premise that they present in Pandora's Box is the fact that the think tanks and the great economists, so-called, thought that they had it sorted out. Not only could they come up with charts and graphs and formulas to explain why things are currently the way that they are economically and socially, but they thought they had charts and graphs and formulas to predict future behavior of the economy. Well, we know from experience that a lot of that is bogus, at least the way they practice it.
Well, that's what, well, Scott, that was Greenspan. Greenspan said, you know, we've got everything figured out. And as long as everybody does and behaves the way that they should do,
so the housing market bottom.
Yeah. And they said, well, but who could predict that these people acted irrationally, irrational exuberance, right? And it's because we're humans. And economics, it's a lot about confidence, right? And when you've got people, consumers spending money because they're confident that the economy is good, obviously it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a chicken and egg
problem.
Yeah, yeah. And then once people are like, oh, shit's going sideways, then you have a negative feedback loop. People start hoarding money, you know, or keeping it close to the vest and stop spending, and then you get what you get.
Well, Mr. Kincaid's a lot smarter than I am on crap like this. Why do we have to keep injecting money, you know, into the system every night? This has been going on for the last five nights.
When you say into the system, what do you mean?
Well, so the banks have money to loan each other.
The Fed.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute now, because, you know, a lot of people don't quite understand what the federal system is.
I don't really get it either, Steve.
I do. Yeah, no, I was a finance major when I was in college, so I was very good at this shit. First of all, when you say the Fed, that usually means the Federal Reserve Board, which is the government board resident in D.C. that sets the interest rates, and what's called the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, sets the discount rate and the rate or the Fed funds rate or the overnight rate, which everything is based off of that. But each of the Federal Reserve banks, which there are, I think there's either 11 or 12 of them, are all private banks. The Federal Reserve is not – Federal Reserve banks are not government-owned. They're private.
Yeah, that goes all the way back to the great debate during the Jackson administration of the Bank of the United States.
Right, which was a little different. The National Bank was a little bit different.
I think CNN sponsored that.
But – yeah, right. Ha ha. But and they were a lot of times people don't understand how they inject liquidity into the economy. They think they print money and they do it. That's not how the Fed does it. What the Fed does is it's all through debt. So what the Fed does, it buys up treasury notes or treasury bills. And that money that they bought, when the Fed invests in that money from the government, that cash goes into the economy.
Would that explain why the inverted yield curve has come into picture?
It could, but I mean, the other thing too is we have to understand what does the inverted yield curve mean?
Well, it simply means, the way I understand it, Steve, is it costs more for short-term lending than it does for long-term lending.
No,
meaning
that,
somebody knows something, you know?
No, what it says is, here's what it says. What it says is that investors are looking at the long term, and they do not – let me step back. When you invest money for long term, you expect a return over time because you expect things to be generally good in the medium to long term. When you don't think things are going to be good in the long term, you want to you demand higher – so you don't know what's going to happen in the short term. You demand – the investors demand higher returns in short term, so they can get in and get out, because they don't know what's going to happen in nine months, 90 or even 90 days. That's what ends up happening.
And the worst I ever seen it, Steve, it went into negative territory where you had to pay them to hold your money. That was back in around the 2008 debacle.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that, and there's all kinds of other shit too. You get into real interest rates and nominal
interest rates. Yeah, it gets really hairy. It does. And I don't want to freak anybody out. I'm not trying to. I just want everybody to be cautious, you know.
But rather than getting into the nitty gritty of, you know, why is the yield curve like that, just remember that if it's inverted, means that investors are skeptical that in the long, medium to long term, that the economy is going to be in the shitter. So they want to get the return. They want their returns now.
But they're comfortable with long-term returns.
No, they're not comfortable with long-term returns.
Well, then why would it be a higher rate for long-term than
it is
short-term?
Oh, okay, wait a minute. But that's not what the normal yield curve is. People are okay putting their money away and not being able to get in and get out because they think that over the long term they're going to make a better return. When they think things are in the shitter, what investors are saying is, I don't know what's going to happen in 9 months, 2 years. I don't think it's going to be good. So,
well, it's also an indicator. Yeah. It's also an indicator, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, of confidence by a certain.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. People are demanding higher returns now. They don't think they're going to make a better return if they put their money at risk for a longer term.
And the irony here is, earlier I was alluding to the situation that so many Americans are in, and people around the world also, in terms of uncertainty in regard to their personal needs and desires. The irony is, the movers and shakers, the money people, also don't like uncertainty. The difference is they're in a position to do something to protect their own deal that could or could and probably will again screw all the rest of us even worse than we're currently being screwed.
Oh, yeah. The
they know how
guys
to make money either way is what it sounds.
Yes. Perfect analogy. Perfect.
It doesn't matter. The bulls and bears will dance no matter what. If you do it right, you, like you say, you can make money going up or coming down.
Yeah.
So, Steve, do you think there's any coincidence? When the necrotic nectarine, when he announced,
ooh, that's
that
a good one.
When he announced that they had the Chinese trade deal was going through, right? And then he came out and he basically said, "I lied to boost markets," right? I mean, that presents a terrible amount of confidence. You know, nobody can have confidence in the necrotic nectarine, right? And then it seems like things started going sideways with the inverted yield curve shortly thereafter. I don't know if there's any correlation there, but
who knows? I mean, there may be correlation. The real issue is the causation. Did that cause did that cause it? I mean, who knows? That causation is
and
always
that there is the million-dollar question, my friend, isn't it? Causation.
Well, I think the business community is looking at T-Rump and they're saying, this guy is off the rails. He's insane.
Hey, Bob, I got a bone to pick with you. I you know, you're a little bit hard on DeVos there. It wasn't her fault that she got the wrong position in the cabinet. You know, Agent Orange should have named her to the head of the Navy because she owns 12 yachts. So,
well, they're okay.
Yeah, whatever happened to the one that got hijacked or somebody tried to steal it, right?
Yeah, it was in Cleveland, Sandusky.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it was you, Joe. You did it.
Yeah, they untied the ropes. They untied the ropes and let it sail in Lake Erie. But the boat, pirate. But Lake Erie is so full of blooms, algae blooms and phosphor, the damn boat came back.
Jesus. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down to the education secretary they call that shit crazy.
The algae blooms are so bad, if Christ himself were to come back, he could easily, any of us
he could
walk
on
him. Water.
He could roller skate on the water. Yeah. Dear, there's a new exclamation. Dear sweet roller skating Jesus, yes. Dear sweet roller skating on Lake Erie Jesus.
That better be in the Duke Middle East Studies curriculum, yeah. Right there.
Hey, I got another thank you to send out. We're making real progress on another community made miracle. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, thank you to Elizabeth. Elizabeth just finished off. Charlene's challenge, and took a bite out of Tracy's challenge. All we got left on challenges now is $23. $23 to finish off Tracy's. I've lost 38 pounds challenge, and there will be no playing of the deplorable choir. So. We're safe, and $23. And so, what does that total us to? Because if we met the challenge, then that meant that Charlene was going to kick in another 50. So, that leaves $224. To finish the month, if we finish Tracy's challenge, that leaves $224 to finish the month of September, and we are done fundraising. And if we did it tonight or by Monday, then we will have six lovely days, more than a broadcast week of fundraising free radio.
Gravel free radio, man, that would be awesome.
Thanks, Steve. I love you too.
As I heard that, I'm like, okay.
Bob and Steve,
well,
is it okay to quickly do my official TV viewing tips?
Please do.
Yes.
Okay. Two of them are spur of the moment ones. They're both on YouTube, but worth your time. The one I mentioned earlier, the little series Pandora's Box from the BBC from a few years back. The other is going to take some searching, but they're also on YouTube. In the search box on YouTube, write Tom Snyder, and then next to it, Sterling Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N.
I have seen that. That is fantastic.
Have you seen those? It's three different interviews that were done in the mid-70s on the old NBC Tomorrow show hosted by Tom Snyder, and his guest was the actor, and he's more than an actor, an author, a Hellraiser,
if I just put in Tom Snyder, what else do I need to put in to bring this up?
Sterling Hayden.
Tom Snyder.
Sterling, H-A-D-D-I-N-G.
No, H-A-Y-D-E-N.
Yeah.
He's the guy who plays General Jack D. Ripper in Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
And he also once bragged he was the only man on planet Earth ever to join the Communist Party and buy a yacht on the same day.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, there are three different interviews from like 76, 78, and I think 79 or 80, a few years before he passed. But find these and watch them. They will inspire you.
Because I watch them every now and again, just to hang on to the wisdom of this gentleman, who has a story that is just unbelievable. So those are the two unofficial, Pandora's Box and the Sterling Hayden Tom Snyder interviews on YouTube. Here are the official ones. Two of them are on Netflix. I'll do those first. The first one is a documentary called For the Love of Spock. It's was produced by the son of Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock on Star Trek. And it is a lovely documentary about Leonard Nimoy, For the Love of Spock. The other one I found quite by accident on Netflix. It's a documentary from about 2 years ago. It's called Clive Davis, The Soundtrack of Our Lives. If you enjoyed American popular music in the late 60s, into the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, Clive Davis was a record executive for a couple of different record companies during that era and signed all manner of stellar artists, many of whom we hear from to this very day. But if you've got Netflix, I can't recommend this documentary more highly. Clive Davis, The Soundtrack of Our Lives. And the last one is on Amazon Prime, and I had seen it a few years ago, but I saw it on there again for free, and I said, well, this one's worth watching. It's also by a son of a famous person. It's called The Man Nobody Knew, and it's by the son of William Colby, who was a honcho in the CIA many moons ago. And
Big Bill Colby.
It may seem like, initially, that it's a puff piece, but it's not.
Scott, say that again. The Man, what is it?
The Man Nobody Knew, and it's on Amazon Prime.
Thank you, sir.
So it's not a puff piece at all. It, for those who don't remember William Colby and his exploits in Vietnam and the Phoenix program,
I do.
It is well worth your time to get a sense of this man and what he was up to. But anyway, those are my viewing tips.
Awesome. That sounds like some light. I'm definitely going to look up the Sterling Hayden one because I've seen those before. I haven't seen them in a long time. Hey, I got great news. Tracy's challenge has been met, courtesy of another charter member of the sorority of Leans and Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Nice. That would be Darlene in Connecticut. And Darlene is extending a $77 challenge to round out a full 100, and that would get us down to done for September, if that can happen.
Nice.
If that can happen in 18 minutes. And so, let's see, 72.
Anything's possible.
Thank you very kindly to Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa, so very much. So we're down to $52 on Darlene's challenge. $52, and that would be amazing. $52 to go. Very close to being done. Let's see. That's tremendous. There's been a little bit more dribbling and drabbling out in regard to the Ukraine thing. The Ukraine thing, you know, that's complicated journalism talky talk.
It's going to be in the news forever now.
But you know, in a way, I'm happy about that, Sparky, because that means that the story doesn't just disappear down the 15-millisecond news cycle. So what it boils down to...
Banged up by something else idiotic he does every day.
And he's trying. You know, today he promised on video in a babble, he said we could wipe out Iran in 10 minutes. And like that, like, you know, committing a genocide is a good thing.
Jesus.
But the details coming out are that in speaking with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, he said Ukraine would improve its image if it pursued corruption cases about Joe Biden's boy, Bo. And the thing is, the Ukrainians are the ones who released a readout of the call. So in other words, and Ukraine is desperate for military aid from the United States because Ukraine is trying to defend itself from being overrun by Russia. And so, unspoken out of that phone call was that he drilled into the Ukrainian president to go after Biden's son. And then, doubling down, that's when he sent Giuliani over to try to arm twist the Ukrainian government. And they met in Madrid. And he said he wanted... Giuliani told the Ukrainians that that Trump wanted them to go after Hunter, not Bo, but Hunter Biden, who sat on the board of a Ukrainian gas tycoon. And they also wanted Ukraine to say that the Democrats had colluded with Ukraine to release, and see, this is, oh, Jesus Christ, this is sickening. They wanted Ukraine to say that the Democrats colluded with them in order to slime, wait for it, here it comes, Paul Manafort. They're setting up a claim that Paul Manafort, instead of being a filthy fucking felon like he is a goddamn victim. And Giuliani, by his own admission, said he told Andre Yermak, your country owes it to us and your country to find out what really happened. Owes it to us. In other words, quid pro quo, tit for tat, dirty. And the Ukrainians have confirmed it, saying that it was clear that Trump was looking for compromat on Biden. This comes from Anton Gerashenko, who's a senior advisor to the Ukrainian Interior Minister. He said, clearly Trump is now looking for compromat to discredit his opponent Biden, to take revenge for his friend Paul Manafort, who is serving 7 years in prison. We do not investigate Biden in Ukraine since we have not received a single official request to do so. None of this was done officially. It was all done sub rosa and dirty. So
that's pretty huge news.
Yeah, that is huge news.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I have along the same lines, one of Lady B's wonderful observations. She said, I wrote this earlier when I was, well, stoned, and after listening to your first few minutes, I thought, well, this may be a probable scenario. What if Trump, going after the future savior of our republic, Joe Biden, was a step too far? What if the powers that be finally decided enough is enough? If Trump was willing to compromise Biden by asking a foreign power to dig up some dirt on him, then that means he was willing to do anything to save his ass from impeachment, prosecution, and imprisonment. That could actually affect the integrity of our democracy. Important folks might get hurt. Okay, so the rich got a tax cut, and more than a couple of oil and gas companies got some environmental protection rules thrown out. Friends of friends got their palms greased. Now there's been some, and continues to be, collateral damage. But other than that, a lot of powerful people have benefited from Trump's dysfunctional reign. But now? Now shit had gone too far. He's hurting too many of the wrong people. And not only are the masses not feeling big business's lies about raises, health care, and climate change anymore, they're also not feeling that voting Republican also means that you support putting kids in cages. The middle is like, yo, leopards are starting to eat my face. Y'all legislators need to check your boy. Word. Impeachment probably is off the table. So why would those in power just start not supporting Warren or Buttigieg? Because Joe Biden is a made man. Corporate America knows he's not a big threat. He sometimes puts his foot in his mouth, but he can smile and wave it off. He's safe. He's a rich old white grandpa. He's perfect for repairing America's image. So maybe we will finally see our leaders wake up and make moves to get rid of this clown. Again, this could be tinfoil hat thinking, and, well, weed's a hell of a drug, smiley face. But I think any moves anyone's going to make to kick Trump to the curb will be to preserve the status quo, and what represents the status quo is Joe Biden. Anything is plausible, but something's coming. Whether or not it will play out for public consumption never really is for us to know, but it's time. And you best believe some political heads, no matter how minor, are gonna roll. That from Lady B. And that is brilliant analysis. Oh,
she's so eloquent. She should be a reporter or something. I mean, the way she wordsmiths things together.
I want some of that weed.
Yeah.
That was so well put.
Yeah, you know what? That would help.
What strain is that?
Yeah, how about an endorsement, Lady B? People want to know, is it indica? Is it sativa? Is it a hybrid?
We're asking for a friend, Lady B.
Yeah, everybody's
not ourselves.
Everybody's asking for a friend, but they really, really, really want to know. Because it seems to work real good for you.
Probably.
Inquiring minds want to know, Lady B.
I would like to hear her writings. I mean, she's professional.
Yes, she is.
Really? Yeah, and it's a shame she can't get a blog or something. Maybe we could help her, you know, get the Horn family together and see what we can do.
Lady B does work up a podcast. And I need to get the details from her. She sent me one, and it's quite good. And so,
Awesome, Bob. If she does that again, do you mind posting a link or sending me one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got if she will communicate, if she'll tell me, I'll let people know how to find it and you know check it out.
Well, I have been impressed by her infrequent phone calls. But also, more than a few of her little essays or missives have just knocked me on my butt in terms of the perceptiveness and the wordplay and all. And the pot, if anything, that probably makes it even better. Sterling Hayden was talking about pot's effect on writing and how you can write sometimes, not so much write on pot, but it gets your mind in a place where there are few filters in terms of talking yourself out of looking at something the way it actually is. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes, this is also I'll mention again, because these little moments happen so often on this program. We're probably the only radio program that has a community that includes people who write lines like, yo, leopards are starting to eat my face. Y'all better do something. I guarantee that did not happen on another radio show today. Or any time lately.
No.
Yeah, and you don't get pot reviews or anything like that. But
well, that's why musicians...
Right.
It helps the creative process.
Well, and I was going to ask you, Sparky, that reminds me, have you been to the store lately?
No, I haven't. I had to go. I'm still shit deep in good stuff.
Oh, well, it must be nice.
I mean,
It
only takes a pinch a day. That's a little bitty tiny pinch in the Sutra Ultra Mini. It's a great vape.
Bob, do you remember the game?
Hang on a second. So you were going to ask something, Sparky.
Uh, what got Mitch McConnell to cave on the election hacking bill thing?
I think the Moscow Mitch thing, I mean, to hear him say it, it really got under his skin. And, you know, the Senate is such a little club that if he senses that his base of support is dwindling, he'll occasionally do something. And his intransigence is putting at hazard people like Susan Collins and Cory Gardner. And he's going to have to fight for another seat fight for a seat in Georgia because Johnny Isaacson took a powder.
Well, there's two seats up in Georgia.
Right. But I mean, that adds another one in there. And so I saw, you know, I was reminded of the article where he said, you know, if I've still got the majority in 2020, after the 2020 elections, I'm going to kill everything that comes to the Senate if there's a Democrat president. And so he had to give some ground. Because he knows that based on a lot of what's going down, that if there's a Democratic majority in the Senate on day one, they may actually get rid of the filibuster, and that will make Mitch McConnell have to sit down and shut the fuck up for as long as the Democrats control the Senate.
If he's still there.
Well, I mean, he's running. So.
Yeah, but there's always a chance.
Nature bats last, as the saying goes.
So was this was the election protection statute that the House passed that he decided to let come to a vote? Is that it, Bob?
It's something like that. Yeah. Rick.
Was that HR1 or something like that or not?
No, it's not HR1 because that's just this was kind of a single issue piece to try to tighten up our election security. Plus, you know, the news breaking that there really were four unknown counties that weren't just, you know, they weren't just intruded by the Russians. They were openly hacked.
Wow. Counties where?
That's the funny thing. They won't say which counties.
Or what states?
Florida. But Jesus, if it's something like Broward, fuck. We're back to hanging chads all over again, and it doesn't look good for him to ignore it and have to wear that moniker Moscow Mitch all the way to November 2020.
That's true.
And as James in Illinois points out, subject line Moscow Mitch, between that and Donnie, he's worried about the imminent demise of the entire Republican Party. See, it's because the Republican Party is already a rump party. It enjoys it's in a significant minority and is only able to maintain power through shenanigans and gerrymandering. I mean, if you look at North Carolina is the classic case in point. The Republicans couldn't get 50% of the vote. I mean, Democrats gave what was it? Ron in Raleigh probably remembers. 60-70% of the vote went to Democrats, but Republicans control 60-70% of the seats. I mean, it's an outrageous number, and that repeats state after state after state. They're all, I mean, they are already a minority party. So that's how that plays out. And in the meantime, we are at the end of the program. We got $52 to go on Darlene's challenge, and that will get us within striking distance of being done with the month of September. I mean, it might leave like 24, 25, $50, but $52 to finish Darlene's challenge, and it would be great if somebody could jump in as things wind down here. Thanks to everybody who has participated this evening, your emails, your tweets, in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you all. Thank you all who subscribe and contribute on an ad hoc basis to keep this all going. That's how this community remains in existence. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, marking 20 years this year at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And by the way, if you want to keep, I'm not sure if everybody's going or staying or what, I have to shut down so I can do the upload, but the conversation will probably continue. Just if you want to jump into it and it's still going on, just use the link over at headon.live. Meanwhile, Lady B with the last word on the way out the door, subject line, squee! Thanks for the compliments, y'all. I'll get back to you on the podcast thing. We're still just working on stuff and making adjustments. This is my dream. I really want it to work. And, in my best Jamaican patois, pleased to be hearing the talk of the magic of the ganja, discreetly slips an edible in her mouth. The secret is the sativa for the day, the indica for the night. Everything nice, though. So bless up the day to give thanks for the bobs, both the Marley and the Kincaids, of and above the world. Y'all's a gift. Love Fridays on the front porch. As the blessed Malloy says, keep it lit, watch your back, and enjoy your weekend. Indeed, indeed. Y'all have a great weekend. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.